The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal. At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Whoa, what are you doing?
Oh, hey, man. Got in early to knock this sucker out. Smooth as a Smurf's ass, right?
That deck was the perfect teachable moment. You just tanked my entire week.
Kids know they're here to learn karate. You don't need to trick them with chores.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was your lesson plan? Line them up and throw forward strikes all day?
I go by feel. Some days I'll toss them in a cement mixer. Other days I'll find a hornet's nest for them to kick.
Let's not do this, okay?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
This is House Podcastica Cobra Kai edition.
Cobra Kai!
Woo! Yay!
This week, we're covering Cobra Kai Season 4, Episodes 1 and 2. Let's begin and first learn stand.
Then learn fly.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's been like a year, I think.
No, mm-hmm. It's crazy.
This somebody on the Podcastica group was like, I'm like, okay, here you can put your comments on the first couple episodes of Cobra Kai. And he was like, Cobra Kai is the one show I would think you wouldn't need a podcast about. And I'm like, what?
I was like, wait a minute, what? Why?
Like, well, clearly you haven't heard our many podcasts about it. But yeah. Also, I mean, A, if it was just funny, then it would be like our Ash versus Evil Dead podcast where we just repeated all the lines and laughed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Totally Which worthwhile.
We sometimes do that. So.
I'm going to do it this episode. Yeah. But also, it's such a smart show. It's all about loyalty and ego and pride. And I was thinking mostly it's about empathy and looking at other people's perspectives that you may have written off, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all about that, which I really think is very cool. It's a smart, smart show, and there's a lot to say about it, I think.
A lot of Absolutely. Gray area in how people behave, just like in real life.
Right.
Human, Absolutely. Yeah.
People acting like humans.
For once.
I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to have you guys back on. I've been waiting for this. It's probably my favorite show to podcast about. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I podcasted about a whole lot at this point. So this episode, it's Cobra Kai season 4, episodes 1 and 2, because we do 2 at a time. Let's begin and first learn stand. And you know, I really feel like 2 at a time. Like we could totally do a full on podcast about just one episode, but then we would have to wait even longer to finish watching it. So I say we stick to 2 at a time because it's hard not to watch ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's worked really well for us in the past. So
Works fine.
I think it's good.
Okay. So what did you guys think of these two in general? Rima, what'd you think?
I thought it was great. I liked how we kind of picked right up where we left off from season 3.
You mean it's like, let's begin. Long, awkward pause. Okay, what are we supposed to be doing?
Well, wasn't that the last thing they said in the last episode? Dude, let's begin.
Yep. And it was funny because it was a big, powerful moment, but then you see the aftermath, like, you didn't tell us what to do.
Yeah.
It's funny. I thought it was a great, great way. They always just have a way of starting it off that's just, you know, it still seems fresh and it doesn't, to me at least, feel old at all. So I loved it. I thought it was a great start. And a lot of great lines, a lot of great callbacks. So yeah, I think just great as always. It's what I expected, and it's what I got starting it off.
Rich?
Yeah, when I watched it the second time through, I realized they were setting up, you know, a lot of things to come in the next few episodes. So I was really excited about that. I'm like, ooh, how's that relationship going to work? Ooh, how's that going to work? You know?
Yep.
And they did a good job of peppering it in there too, so you weren't like overwhelmed right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, now I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of them.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I mean, season two, I think, is my least favorite so far, but it's still great. But I was worried that maybe they just can't be as good as their first season. And then I thought season three was almost even better. And if these first two episodes are any indication, they have figured out how to do this show, because I thought it was really good, really fun, funny as hell.
Yeah, they figured out the formula.
Yeah, the formula. Yep. I'm surprised they're still able to like recontextualize and reconfigure things from the original movies in ways that are still entertaining and feel fresh and fun, like having Johnny go through the freaking Miyagi treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a great idea. Yeah. So, I just want to mention too, in case there's people who are listening because you've jumped on since we covered Cobra Kai last, we have covered all of the other episodes two at a time, like we're doing now. So we do two at a time weekly. We welcome any feedback on our Facebook page, and you can email us and everything. And we also covered all of the movies, Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3. And especially for season four here, I highly recommend going back and watching Karate Kid 3, even though it wasn't a great movie. Just because it has Terry Silver in it, and he's going to be in the show now, and he's the best thing about the movie. And listen to our coverage too, because we really dug deep on that one and found some nuggets there. So anyway, I definitely recommend that.
Absolutely. Right. Yes, Terrence. That's right.
Sorry. Terrence, darling.
He's a dapper, cultured fellow. All right, let's get into our points. Rima, what you got?
Well, I'm going to pick up right where you just left off there and say Terry Silver has entered the chat. or Terrence, sorry. I thought it was great. I mean, we knew, you know, from the end of season three, or at least had a really good feeling of who Kreese was calling, you know, there at the end. So we knew. And then I think it was leaked later, before the season came out, that he was going to be in it. So of course, you know, we were all pretty pumped for that. So I love that we get him, pretty early on. I love that when he's playing the piano, which, total maestro, by the way. I mean, didn't know that the dude was so talented. He's just, you know, plugging away at the piano. And he gets that call and he picks it up, and it's from an unknown. So he picks it up, and as soon as he hears Kreese's voice, and he just hangs up on it.
He's like, nope, no thanks. That is, it's like a telemarketer.
That is not how I expected it to go at all. I guess I still, which was silly, because I feel like they do a great job of kind of changing your
subverting
perspective
your on expectations.
Them. Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't know why I assumed that we were going to get the same exact Terry Silver, but that's who was going to be on the other line. So I love that he just like hung up on him. I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. That was a good move. You know, what's this going to look like? So I love that we got that straight away. And then when Kreese confronts him, and, you know, at the party, when he's like, you know, oh, I'm going to go follow up on this, you know, I'm going to get him involved somehow. So he, you know, actually goes to his house, and, you know, they go through the party and they get through that whole part. But when they're talking later, one of my favorite parts was how much Terry acknowledged how ridiculous the plot of Karate Kid 3 was. And I think it made total sense. And I want to get your y'all's opinions on it, that he was like blaming or partially blaming cocaine for his behavior and like bullying a teenager and getting involved in like this high school drama. You know, I thought it was great how he called it right out and said how ridiculous it was. And I'm like, that makes perfect sense. So I want to get what y'all thought about that, because I'm sure you have some thoughts too.
Yeah. Well, Terry Silver is one of my points too. He had probably the best line in the entire series when he was talking about the 80s. He says, I was so hopped up on cocaine and revenge, I spent months terrorizing a teenager over a high school karate tournament.
Yes. What do you say? That sounds insane just talking about it.
That's funny.
Yep.
I was like, they're good at poking fun at themselves. This series. You know?
Well, they're poking fun at the people who made Karate Kid 3.
Yeah.
But rightly so.
Yeah. And I'm with you on that, Rima, because he was playing the classical piano in the very opening scene, you know? Mm-hmm. And for me, that was like, oh, look, he's been living the good life, you know? He's been refined, I guess, is a good way to put it. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then we see him hosting the cocktail party, like you pointed out, and a bunch of other artsy-fartsy types in there. You can see that he's been, like, far removed, you know, from the old life, from his... from his coke-fueled days of tormenting teenagers, right?
And dumping toxic sludge. Maybe he still does that. We don't really know.
And so he's, and you know, and Kreese this whole time went there to see his buddy, and I think he was kind of like disgusted by all of this, you know? He's like, come on, what happened to the Cobra Kai guy, you know? Mm-hmm. And I like that. I like that the writers didn't give us the old Silver right up front, and that he's rejecting Kreese at the moment. And I think they're just going to slowly let his character unfold, probably.
Yeah.
Convoluted way.
I hope so.
They do, you know. And then he'll be there.
The return, yeah. So, like, for people who didn't watch Karate Kid 3, and you just saw this kind of reserved fellow, cultured, and show little clips of him when they were talking about when he mentioned his coke-fueled days. But here's just a short clip to give you a taste of what he was like.
Hey, anything else you want?
Yeah. Make his knuckles bleed.
Hey, I like that! Oh, I like that, Johnny! I'm gonna use that!
You know he was coked up right then.
Hey. Makes perfect sense.
Hey, I like that.
He's in a hot tub while he's saying it.
Right.
All right. Well, I'll do my Terry Silver point too. I love it because I, you know, was looking forward to this season particularly because he's going to be in it. So I like that he was the first person you see, but you don't even see his face. He's playing the piano like a virtuoso. And I was hoping before I watched that they wouldn't do the Cobra Kai thing and subvert our expectations with Terry Silver and humanize him, because I want the crazy, insane, filthy, rich, overexcited version. You know, and I don't think I've ever said this about anyone before, but get that man some more cocaine. But after having watched it, I feel like you're right. That's where they're going. I'm glad he's still rich with his beautiful, beautiful modernist beachfront home, and that they'll build up to it, because I think Kreese probably woke up the Cobra Kai within him. I thought I'd give a quick recap. They were Vietnam buddies. Kreese saved his ass many times in Karate Kid 3. Well, I don't actually remember too much about, I should have went back and watched Cobra Kai, but we got flashback scenes of them in Vietnam going through hell together.
Mm-hmm.
Over the snake pit and such.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in Karate Kid 3, Terry Silver was this rich businessman whose business was apparently dumping toxic waste and bribing officials to look the other way. I don't know. And he had like an English butler and all this craziness. And when he found out that Kreese is basically the events of the first Karate Kid, that Kreese's Cobra Kai students all left because he disgraced himself at the tournament by having his kids cheat and be overly aggressive and also losing and then beating up his students in the parking lot. So it was his own fault. Terry Silver took a break from his business to focus on humiliating Miyagi and Daniel. He posed as a nice guy, karate instructor, and offered to train Daniel for the tournament while at the same time training the bad boy of karate, Mike Barnes, to go up against him and humiliate him at the tournament. And he was injuring him by making him punch and kick hard pieces of wood until his knuckles bled. And then Mike Barnes beat the shit out of Daniel in the tournament, but Daniel won on a technicality with one wimpy punch. Yeah. Great movie. And so in this episode, Terry Silver acts like Kreese was a bad influence on him. but he's really the one egging everything on in Karate Kid. Like, Kreese is ready to give up, and Silver's like, no, we're going to humiliate, we're going to make these guys suffer. Yeah. You go on vacation, I'll take care of it. So yeah.
He was hell-bent on revenge for whatever reason.
Yeah. So now he doesn't like Kreese anymore, and yeah, it's an unknown number, so clearly they're not in touch. They haven't spoken to each other in a while. I'm trying to figure out why he's mad at him. Kreese said, I wanted to finish what we started, and Silver says, finish what we started, just like we were supposed to do 35 years ago before he vanished. So that made me think, oh, was he just mad at him because he was still raring to go, but Kreese dropped out? But then he says after the tournament, he hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
And, you know, got into therapy and built himself back up, found clarity. He says, turns out you disappearing was the best thing that ever happened to me. So that makes it seem like he, I don't know, man. It was Terry Silver doing all that, not Kreese.
They both hit rock bottom because even yeah, Kreese said so. He was in a pretty bad place too.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens in this crazy Karate Kid universe when everybody's lives revolve around these tournaments that happened back in the 80s. When you lose, yeah. It ruins your life.
Well, you got two guys like this with giant egos and everything to prove, and then you get beat by one wimpy little kick from some little scrawny teenager. Sure, you're going to hit rock bottom.
Yeah, life's but over, man.
Back then, here's an example of Terry in Karate Kid 3. Miyagi and that punk kid, I'll get them for what they did to you. They made you suffer, so I'll make them suffer. When I think they've suffered enough, then I start with the pain. And Kreese is like, Terry, you don't have to do that. Don't have to. I want to. It's not over. We're Cobra Kai. Come on, say it. Cobra Kai. And Kreese goes, never dies, which I think is the first time that was ever said in a Karate Kid movie. And now it's repeated a lot on the show, Cobra Kai. And so I think it's cool that his line, Cobra Kai never dies, is being tested here. Has it died in him? He's changed. He's cultured. He's a pianist. He's got a lot of servants in Karate Kid 3, like here, but he wasn't necessarily disrespectful to them, but it did seem out of character here when he helped that one with the tray, you know, and he was a racist back then.
Yeah.
He repeatedly called Miyagi a slope in Karate Kid 3, which is a highly derogatory term. Now he has this girlfriend, Cheyenne, who's played by Salome Azizi, who's part Iranian, which maybe indicates he's changed or tried to change, you know, maybe, I don't know. He's eating vegan tofu skewers that are organic, dipped in cilantro cashew sauce, which I would totally want. It's good. Kreese looks disgusted. He's got these friends who say things like, you have a Habsburg jawline.
Yeah, what the heck was that?
It's an insult.
Well, it could be. He seemed to like it, but kings and queens of the Spanish Habsburg dynasty in the 16th and to the 18th century had this distinctive facial deformity, this elongated jaw. Some think it was a result of centuries of inbreeding, but I don't think that was the point of the guy saying it because he said perfect, you know. I think he was just admiring him.
You have an inbred jawline.
I think it was a sly way of insulting him so Kreese wouldn't get it. Because if Kreese knew he was insulting him, he'd lay him out. So
like,
I think it's
like
a
looking down on him or
it's
something.
It's an elite way of looking down on someone.
Could be. The actor wasn't playing it that way, I don't think, but maybe, yeah. But then Kreese is like, what nice new friends you have, Terrence, which means, what the fuck, dude? Really? And then Terry sponsors Cheyenne's mindfulness app, which I think Daniel would appreciate, but Kreese thinks is a waste of time. And Silver, yeah, says, you know, he regrets how he was back in the 80s. So, I don't know. Kreese thinks Terry has forgotten who he really is. When the Habsburg jaw guy says, oh, I didn't know you had a karate phase. Kreese is like, karate's not a phase. It's a way of life.
Yeah.
It never leaves you. You can leave it for a while, but it never leaves you. And he says, I was in a bad place back then, but I'm back now and you can be too. Just trying to bring him back to, hey, Cobra Kai never dies. Remember?
Yeah.
And then he talks about when they got back from Nam, we went through hell watching our friends die only to be welcomed home by a bunch of hippies calling us killers. I think that hippie is like, and now you're with this artsy fartsy crowd, like you guys said, with their meditation apps and their organic food, you're hanging out with these people.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he says people needed to learn some respect, some discipline. That's why we started Cobra Kai together. We made a difference. I love how they tie all this together. We can do it again. There's a whole new generation out there that can use what we know. This reminds me of Johnny. He's calling kids pansies all the time and telling them asthma's all in their head and stuff like that. Or even in this episode, he's saying to Daniel as he's training him, all your life, the world's been trying to make you less of a man. Light beer, veggie burgers, automatic transmissions. Might as well let another dude bang your chick. So Chris thinks Terry has become overly domesticated and neutered by progressive
weak,
attitudes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, forgotten his roots. So was Chris successful? Well, I think he had some impact. It seemed like he had the most impact when he said, you know, people expect men of our age to pack it in and go off into the sunset. That might work for you, but I still have some fight left in me. Please thank Cheyenne for the tofu. I feel like that last line really got to him. And then maybe a little when he said, the only thing standing in our way is Daniel LaRusso. Oh, Danny boy?
Yeah, Danny boy.
I like that. That was a good callback.
And when Robbie is telling Cobra Kai, but eventually we all need to look ourselves in the mirror and realize who we really are. That's superimposed with Terry eating a salad as Cheyenne says, Terrence, would you be a darling and get a bottle of Montrachet from your cellar? Then he goes down to the cellar and his violin music that was in Cobra Kai 3 ramps up and he just spin kicks a bottle of wine into the wall. So I feel like, yeah, it's woken up the Cobra Kai. He seemed exhilarated. Kreese got to him.
Yeah, he kicked it and it went all over his expensive painting.
Right.
Man.
Are you all right down there?
Cobra Kai.
A very destroying. Nice bottle of wine, too.
Yeah. Well, it's right. Weird because it's a Cayman wine and Robert Mark Cayman.
Yeah, it's an Easter egg.
Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3. He now has vineyards up in Sonoma and a winery, and he makes Cayman wine. And I'm like, that's kind of disrespectful. But then again, Terry Silver's a bad man. I guess that's why. I don't know.
No, it's like an Easter egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're like destroying this guy's product. It seems disrespectful to me.
Yeah, he did that to the wine, and Daniel did it to the beer bottle.
Yeah. Hi-ya! That's right. Yeah, they've always been sort of back. Like reflections of each other. Yeah. And speaking of Daniel, like I really hope we get the old Terry back or something like that. It'll be a shame if we don't. And I can't wait for Daniel to come face to face with him now. That'll be great. And then also to see how he is with Johnny because they've never met before in the movies or anything.
That actor, what's his name?
Thomas Ian Griffith.
He's actually younger than Daniel.
I know.
Ralph weird?
Macchio.
Ralph Macchio.
He's 1 year younger.
Crazy.
That was
amazing.
Right now, he definitely looks older than Ralph Macchio now. But back then, when he was supposed to be Kreese's Vietnam buddy and Daniel was this little kid, it seemed even weirder to find that out.
Yeah.
He's so much bigger,
mm-hmm.
and more athletic and everything. Anyway. That's my thoughts on Terry Silver returning. Can't wait to see what happens next. They didn't have him in the second episode. That's fine.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. It's like Rich said, kind of like a slow buildup.
Yeah.
You know, let's see where it goes.
See what happens. You think we're going to get
a slow burn?
Mike Barnes?
I don't know. You know what I was thinking is the introduction of the new kid. New kid, Kenny?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, he might be a third party in all this, or not him, but maybe whoever his older brother knows.
Well, I think his older brother knows Robbie.
Yeah, oh, is it Robbie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
So this kid's going to meet up with Cobra Kai. But I my guess would be that Mike Barnes will show up for season 5.
Mm.
You know, I'm sure they'll bring him back. I mean, they're bringing everybody back.
That's true.
So.
He would be the last one, right?
Oh, until they bring back what's her name from the next Karate Kid.
Hilary Swank.
Yeah, Hilary Swank.
I don't think I've seen that one.
You don't want to watch that. It's even worse than Karate Kid 3. I guess if she comes back, we'll have to watch it.
On the next House Podcast.
Together. I know there's at least some one or two people in the group who like that movie. Sorry, guys.
Mm.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Okay, Remo, what's your next one?
So I want to talk about Kenny and Anthony, since Rich just mentioned Kenny. This might be a good time to bring up that point. We get this new kid, Kenny, and it took me a hot minute to realize, I don't know if it was like that for you guys too, when he got on the bus, that that was Daniel's kid, Anthony.
Yeah, he got
that
old.
I was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Well, he showed up last season and I already had that reaction. Like he's
one episode though.
Yeah, but I was like,
amazing
oh, look,
what 4 years does to little kids, huh?
Yeah. So I recognized him right away.
It took me a minute because I only remember seeing him in like one scene in one episode, and then I just completely forgot about him. I felt like Daniel, I completely forgot about this kid.
Looks like they're finally going to give him a story.
Yeah, yeah, they're
Daniel
finally
forgot about his own kid.
I know. I thought they were going to chuck him, you know, from Chuck from Happy Days, where after the first two seasons they just forgot they had another son.
Yeah, like they just have the one child. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of what I was waiting for. But I'm really interested in this new storyline that they have with this new kid. And I think it's interesting that they have Anthony, you know, kind of being part of, you know, the boys that bully other kids at school, which, as I mentioned, you know, maybe he wouldn't be such an asshole if his dad actually acknowledged his existence.
Yeah.
so, I mean, but I like how this storyline, and again, I'll be interested to hear what you guys have to think or have to say about it. And if you agree that this storyline, at least for me, kind of mirrors the original Karate Kid with Daniel and Johnny and Allie. We even had the chase in the park when those bullies were chasing him after he dressed up in his little cosplay and was running away from them. It was like that scene in Karate Kid where Daniel was running away from all the Cobra Kais and leapt over the fence, except Kenny actually made it over the fence. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking about Leah is an anagram of Allie.
Oh yeah.
So I like there's like this little love triangle that they have going on with Leah, mm-hmm. And Kenny and Anthony, how they both like her.
Because Anthony didn't really, he just looked at her when they were playing basketball, right? And you could tell he liked her. I think that was it though.
Yes.
But yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah. I think there's going to be a little bit of a mirrored thing there. And then of course, when we saw Kenny finding out who his older brother was there in juvie, which we know him and Robbie kind of struck a friendship after they disliked each other.
They clashed at first, but then they gained respect by beating each other up.
Right. And not being snitches, not snitching each other out. And so, yeah, I'm thinking, oh crap, now this Kenny kid's going to get drawn into Cobra Kai and how's that going to, you know, play out throughout. But I like this new, I thought for a minute I was worried because Cobra Kai is so full of so many characters. We have so many characters and there's always so many storylines, but I think they fleshed it out so far really well. And I'm interested to see where it goes. So,
all right. I'm an idiot. I didn't realize that his older brother was the guy that was in prison.
Yeah, that's him.
With Robbie. Now that you said that, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so stupid.
I
knew him from so
a lot of characters.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of characters.
Yeah, I got lost. Well, the problem is I thought I knew him from the other show he's on that you podcast about, The Walking Dead, right? He was in that.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. There's a lot of characters on that show, too. Yeah.
I've only watched a handful of episodes, but I think the ones I watched, he was in it.
I have to look it up.
Well, I think this kid, Kenny, I didn't look the actor's name up, but he's so good.
Mm-hmm.
He's really likable, you know? And especially what they have him doing, playing games and doing all the things. Well, I don't dress up in cosplay, but I like looking at, you know, cosplay. I think it's fun and cool, and
yeah,
he's just a really, like, before they beat him down, he's got his headphones on and just dancing in the street. And
he was so happy when he was by himself. So playing his game.
So sad.
Just leave him alone. He's just vibing to his music. Haven't we all done that? I mean, when you're in middle school, it's
like, oh, attack, attack.
Kids are mean.
I know. Kids are assholes.
And I think, you know, it's just like Cobra Kai to have Daniel LaRusso's son be in the bully crowd. But the little curly-headed blonde kid is like the Kyler, just a straight up you're a bad person. And Anthony was a little hesitant about it sometimes, and you know, I mean, that's not a huge excuse, but that's kind of what they do with all the characters. They have their bad sides and their good side. So I wouldn't say I think Anthony is a little bit hesitant about the stuff they're doing, but at other times he's a straight up dickhead. So
yeah, I felt that way too. He like would have these pauses.
Yeah,
where I felt like almost he's like, hey, wow, me and this kid are a lot alike.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because he plays that game, I'm pretty sure. That same game. Yeah.
He didn't want to admit. Oh, I heard some nerds talking about it. Yeah, right. Come on.
Yeah.
And then his friends were right there to be like, come on, what are you doing? Stop being nice.
But this one curly-headed kid is the one that's like egging everybody
on. He's the leader. Yeah, he's
just like Kyler did.
Just caving under peer pressure. I mean, I kind of, you know, do sympathize with Anthony a little bit. It's not right that he is going along with it. And he's also contributing to the bullying of this kid, but you know, it's peer pressure is such a strong thing, for kids that age. And Rich, I'm sure you as a teacher probably see it so much, more than, and how awful it is and how much, you know, how hard it is for kids and that peer pressure even today. So, I mean, it's a psyche situation. Kids are just jerks and dragging other kids in with them.
And this kid was so likable. And, you know, now he's probably going to get hooked up with Cobra Kai. And I feel similar to how I did with Miguel at first. Like, oh, this kid seems like a good kid. Don't go there. But so I don't know. I'm torn between thinking the show's repeating itself a little versus doing what it always does, which is recontextualize things that have come before. But this time it's something that's come before in this show.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So you think maybe that's going to be another subplot?
Kenny, I do. I think Anthony, getting the even younger generation in on it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to consume the entire LaRusso family.
I liked this. I liked Kenny in this episode. I was interested in all that stuff. I felt so bad, especially like when he was connecting with what he thought was Leah online. And at first I was like, oh, that's so cute. And then right before they showed the kids that it was really them, I was like, this isn't right. It's not even her.
Seems too good to be true. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And then she barely noticed him at school the next day.
Yeah. They had me fooled because I really did think it was her.
I did at first.
Yeah. And then, had that bubble burst. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, that's so dirty.
Yep.
Poor kid. He just wants someone to connect with, being the new kid and stuff. Mm-hmm. I can relate. I've been a new kid in a new school and not had, you know, just feeling like, you know, just don't connect with anyone and you're so different from everyone. And it just made me feel really bad for him.
I mean, it is very much like Daniel coming to LA, you know. Yeah, next week I wouldn't be surprised if we see Kenny going, this school sucks. Hate the school.
I wouldn't blame him.
You are home. You were born here.
Yeah, well, it sucks. His dad's away. Sounds like he's you know, serving military somewhere. His older brother, who I'm sure he probably looked up to, is away in juvie. His mom sounds like she's not around a lot.
He tells his dad,
yeah, she's working, and he just kind of left to his own. He, you know, was getting himself up for school in the morning. Like, he was up before his alarm even went off playing this game, you know, taking care of himself and then home after school and stuff. And thought, this poor kid needs a little direction. And I hate to see him get sucked in on the wrong side.
Yeah.
He said, like Miguel.
At parents, absentee parents, he turns to his older brother.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your next one, Rich?
You know, we learned a lot about what motivates the Cobra Kai members in these last two episodes. You know, we learned, you know, Kreese pretty much laid it out finally and more directly than ever before. He said, we got Kreese, what we got with Tori and Robbie. And they all kind of laid out why they're doing what they're doing, right? Kreese talks about when they returned from Vietnam. I think, Jason, you mentioned it. No one gave them any respect, called them, you know, baby killers and stuff like that. And then that's why they decided to start Cobra Kai, right? So it kind of like boils down to Kreese wanting to teach the whole world respect. And now only Danny Boy is standing in the way. So we got to get Danny. You know, and then Kreese also says, you know, it's not about a trophy. It's about being a champion. And he mentioned that a couple of times in the show, and that's going to follow you for the rest of your life. And then he points out, you know, look what happened to Johnny, who didn't win. And look what happened to Daniel, who did win.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Little flaw there. Which one was your student, Kreese?
Yeah. Johnny. Yeah. And then Tori is, you know, he's kind of taken the road most traveled by kids who have a shitty childhood, you know. She's become single-minded, hell-bent on revenge. She's a very vengeful person. She just wants to hurt other people, kind of like how she's been hurt. Robbie, he's feeling unloved by Dad and now Samantha. Yeah, this was pretty cut and dry. So kind of a fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me kind of thing. So he's just going to go to the strike first side. But for me, you know, these two episodes kind of really laid it out on why Cobra Kai exists. So I was pretty impressed how they peppered all that into the episodes there.
I agree.
Yeah, then on the Miyagi-Do side, it was just, you know, Daniel saying that, you know, it's a calming, you know, it's a defensive. It's, what do they say there? No be there.
But he also said we need to win so we can show the Valley that Cobra Kai doesn't work.
That Cobra Kai doesn't work, right. And I'm like, yeah, what, all six of them? I mean, what do you mean the whole Valley? There's like six students in the classroom. Did you notice that? There was only six because he says, what's that guy, the original
Kyler,
bad guy?
Kyler. Yeah, said that half the squad.
Yeah, half the squad left, right? So there's not a lot of students
Maybe
there.
They'll get more, yeah. No, but I think it is. I like what you just said because you need two sides for this story to work. And so you need people on both teams. And so they decided that Robbie and Tori and Kyler and who else are on the Cobra Kai team. And so, yeah, we want to know what would make someone go over and be on that team.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have to spend more time justifying that because, you know, most people aren't going to agree with their teachings and their way of life.
You should break into someone's house and try to beat up their daughter.
Yeah, when Kreese confronts, you know, when Kreese confronts Amanda in the grocery store, he's like right there to defend and justify why Tori's psycho, you know, and her violent tendencies. It's like, oh, okay, I guess we understand why now, so she can keep, you know, hurting people and be the bad person.
Right. But I always come back to this line, even in other podcasting about other shows. I've mentioned this line that Samantha said, I think last season. It was something like, everyone's got a sob story, but that doesn't mean you have the right to be a bully. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My turn?
Yeah.
I'll talk about Johnny and Daniel trying to work together. It's funny that they clearly did zero planning or prep before starting their first lesson.
No communication happening there, yeah.
And I'm sure, I guess they both assumed, Daniel probably assumed, okay, well, he's Miyagi-Do now. And Johnny just was doing his own thing.
Right.
It was really fun to watch him struggle and try to integrate their two styles. Daniel's like, the All Valley Tournament is just a few months away, and this year the stakes are higher than they've been. We know that Cobra Kai is going to use every dirty trick in the book. There's only one way we're going to be able to beat them, Johnny, by kicking their asses so hard they shit themselves. We're going to take things to the next level. We're going to teach you an aggression stronger than anything Cobra Kai could throw at us. They strike first, we'll pre-strike.
If they pre-strike, we'll pre-pre-strike.
Pre-pre-strike. Daniel says, okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We're going to respond to what they do. Johnny says, eagles do not respond. They swoop down and take whatever they want. That's what we're going to do. Take back the valley. Take it back in a measured and organized approach. Then they decide to train them separately, which it makes sense until you figure out how to train them together. You got to train them separately or let one person train all of them. But they're not going to do that. Their egos are too big. So I thought, well, that makes sense, but I'm disappointed because I want to see how you can integrate the two styles, if that's at all possible.
Yeah, that's what I assumed they were going to do. Like, Miyagi teach defense, and then, you know, eagle teach offense.
And I think they will do that eventually. I think that's where they're headed. But right now, so Daniel's back to being a total, like, the worst version of himself, a self-righteous hothead. He's teaching breathing techniques and saying, don't let your emotions control you. And yet he's super easily triggered.
Hey, right.
It was funny that he's like, now everyone close your eyes and relax. And you hear outside, stop whining like a little bitch and get up.
Stop being a pussy and punch him in the face.
Breathe in, breathe out. So he goes out there and he's out there arguing. And I wonder if Daniel will find peace by the end of this, but it's too early in the series for him to be totally put together. You know, he's got to have places left to go. So then I like that Miguel got Johnny to reconsider, because Johnny wanted to quit after that, but to reconsider working with Daniel by mentioning Rocky 3.
Magic of Rocky, right. References. Yep.
Apollo helped him. And so then Johnny picks up the phone and starts rehearsing his apology to Daniel. But then Daniel comes to the door and apologizes first. And Johnny's like, well, you should be sorry.
Yeah, almost the word for word apology he was going to say. Right.
And then they're drinking beer and arguing and realizing it's not going to work. And it felt like it's a divorce, you know, they're going to have to tell the kids.
Yeah, I like how they just decide, oh, this isn't going to work. Yeah. They just keep drinking beer.
Right.
Yeah. Got to at least finish the beer.
They were like kind of on the same page there. It's like,
yeah, that's the only time they're on the same page.
Yeah. And yeah. They do. They get on the same page every once in a while, which is kind of fun. But then, who was it? The thing with Hawk happened at the end of
the first episode?
First episode or the second episode?
Now I can't remember.
Beat down the fence.
I think it was the second.
Yeah, me too.
It had to be the second because, yeah.
Yeah, so what happened here? Because they decided, you know, hey, you don't respect my karate, I don't respect yours. Let's teach each other styles for a day, which was really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And talk about role reversal. Johnny gets the Miyagi treatment. It makes sense to do that since they're trying to work together, so they should understand each other's karate, their techniques, you know? So I loved watching Johnny. He's bored by painting the house side to side. Look, maybe you can do this, but I can't. Defense is boring. Offense will always be more badass. And then Johnny chops off the top of his beer to show him that he does know some exciting moves.
Yeah.
And reminds him, yeah, how'd you do that? And reminds him that Miyagi karate saved his ass from Kreese a few weeks back when, I think that's
twice,
Daniel fought Kreese. Yeah, and that wasn't the first time. And it shows beginning of Karate Kid 2 when Miyagi fought Kreese. And so he's like, okay, and nobody's more badass than Mr. Miyagi. All right. So he starts painting the house again.
That was interesting how he inspires Johnny to continue by bringing up all the times Miyagi-Do kicked Cobra Kai's ass.
Right. One he didn't bring up is when Miyagi kicked his ass when they were in that skeleton costumes.
Oh, yeah, the Halloween. Yeah.
It's funny how everyone's catching on how to talk to Johnny.
Yeah. I know.
Mr. Miyagi was a badass. Johnny's like, okay.
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 Yeah. Be like Rocky 3. All right.
All right.
So then Daniel gets the Eagle Fang treatment. Techniques include shoveling hot coals and then walking on them, climbing a chain, fist push-ups, and hitting baseballs from a pitching machine. But what I loved most about this was that Daniel got into it.
Yeah. You know,
he's hilarious. Hitting those baseballs, and when he's climbing the chain, he shakes his fist. Yeah, at the end.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. You know, you're supposed to shovel the coals into the furnace.
Yeah. Just do it.
Don't question my techniques.
And then Johnny instigates a fight between Daniel and the hockey team. That was hilarious. And then the idea was for each of them to gain an understanding and respect for each other's methods. They definitely got an understanding. I don't know about respect. Johnny says, so you respect Eagle Fang? And he goes, yes, in the same way I respect a madman with a nuke. And Johnny says, I'll take it. But in the fight with the hockey guys, Daniel struck first, and he used a lot of offense with his fist, his feet, and a hockey stick. So you wonder if he'd have been so quick to do that if he hadn't just spent a day with Johnny, you know, training and all that stuff. And also at the same time, Johnny was practicing no be there. So
such a good callback.
Yeah, that was so good. So I was thinking, okay, now maybe they can integrate each other's styles. Like Robbie, he's doing that with Cobra Kai. I mean, Robbie, when he went in there and he was like, if any of you can land a punch, then I'll leave. And until the end, they couldn't. And I thought, well, I think the point of that was to show, because this is all about defense versus offense, right? And it was to show that since he's learned Miyagi-Do style karate, he has great defense, and they couldn't land a punch on him. And so then he starts teaching that to them. But the main difference in the systems is about whether to strike first and how much to focus on defense and versus offense. And in Miyagi's karate, like all the waxing of the cars, painting the fence and the house was all about blocking. So defense. And then Daniel learned balance standing on the bow of the boat, which apparently he still has that boat and Chris barfed in it. And Daniel's like, I want to learn how to punch. And Miyagi's like, learn how to punch, win, learn how to keep dry, and shakes the boat. So the offense was saved for later. Even the crane technique that Daniel saw Miyagi doing, and said, can you teach me that? And he goes, first learn stand, then learn fly. That even that, I wouldn't necessarily, I don't know if you'd consider that offensive. Well, it's definitely reactive because you have to wait until someone's coming at you to use it, you know?
Right.
And Kreese says their entire style is reactive, which means all their moves are counter moves. That means we are in control and we can use that to set traps. And even the drum technique, I think it was about blocking and counter punching. So it was reactive,
that was reactive too.
Kreese says, yeah. I think the one move that was more aggressive was just Daniel breaking the ice, you know? And I guess it's the same move that you make to break the bottle tops, just like a sideways chop.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Then Eagle Fang, on the other hand, slash Cobra Kai. I mean, we don't really see them doing anything except punching and learning to have no mercy and strike first and beat the shit out of each other. As Johnny explains it, it's about attacking, leading, growing into men, and embracing pain.
Yeah. Being strong, being tough.
So can they integrate those two? I mean, or are they mutually exclusive? I would say that you can learn offense and defense, but you have to decide where that line is about how much aggression to have and whether to strike first and go for max damage and stuff like that. So they're going to have to both maybe compromise a little bit and find a level that they're not entirely comfortable with.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Those things.
Yeah, the standing joke in Aikido is if you had two Aikido masters face off, they would just stand there and nothing would happen.
That's kind of what was happening when Daniel was having his students circle around each other and
Dimitri's
like, one of them needs to be provoked. And so Johnny throws
like, are you provoked?
Throws a bottle.
Maybe it should be, strike second, but strike to kill or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, in a tournament, you don't have to strike first. You can wait.
No.
But I guess if you got two people just waiting forever, then the timer might run out and nobody gets any points.
Yeah, it comes a point you have to do something because that's how you earn your points is by your strikes. So if you're both just standing there and circling each other, it's going to be like a draw. You know?
So do you think the idea now is that they are going to learn to integrate the two styles?
Yeah, they're going to have to. I mean, otherwise they're going to be training separately.
Right.
And that wouldn't make any sense.
And I mean, based on what happened with Hawk, where he's rebuilding this platform, like the old ancient Miyagi one, I forget what they called it, but that seemed to have brought all the students together, and Johnny and Daniel were about to tell them it wasn't going to work, but they were like, yeah, that's a good idea, kids. And seemed to be inspired by the kids. I felt like that meant that the kids are sort of leading them. Like, it's like, parents who are going to divorce, but the kids are like, no, stay together, guys.
Right. Well, they probably intuitively know, too, that their best chance of winning is if they get both sides.
Yeah.
I do think it's going to be an important part, since you asked the question, and this was what I was going to talk about anyway, was how both of these techniques and fighting styles are going to have to come together. And I think it's really important because Johnny knows. I mean, he's calling it Eagle Fang, but it's Cobra Kai. It's what he knows, and that's what he's teaching. I think it's really important for the kids under Miyagi-Do to understand that, so they can. It's very important to understand your opponent and know how they fight and anticipate what they do. It's only going to, you know, whether or not they use the techniques themselves or not, they'll at least know how to anticipate. It'll make them better fighters.
Yeah, just like Robbie's teaching Cobra Kai.
Exactly, yeah. And that was my point as well. Is, you know, now Robbie is teaching Miyagi-Do, so they can, you know, they'll know their defenses, how they're going to like be defending themselves, so they can anticipate. They may not actually use Miyagi-Do or, you know, use it in their style, but to understand what they'll do makes them better fighters as well against their enemies. And I loved how the kids came together at Miyagi-Do and Eagle Fang and kind of knew. I mean, they weren't making a big secret of how they were disagreeing. You know, they kept kind of bickering in front of the kids and, you know, about their different techniques and how they were going about things.
And they could see that it didn't work for them to be together in the first place, that they had to separate them and everything.
Right. So they saw that. And I think the kids wanted it more than Daniel and Johnny did. Like they're like, oh, well, we tried and just failed. We're done then. But the kids really want it to happen. And so they took the action to do that. So I think that they're going to have to figure out a way to do it together. They're going to have to find a way to incorporate both in the trainings. I think they'll figure it out. I don't know how yet, but I think they will, and they're going to have to.
And I think it was really significant that it was Hawk that spurred it on, because Hawk was such, I fucking hated that kid, right?
That season was terrible.
I was a dick.
Hurting everyone, yeah. And then he changed sides during the big fight at the end there, and felt bad for his friends and everything. And now he's shown up to this place where he knows he's done bad things to everyone. So it's kind of a brave move for him to show up and to keep apologizing. And I don't blame the kids for being mad at him either.
I'm glad they called him out on it. I'm glad that they didn't just say, oh, you said you're sorry. Oh, okay, all's forgiven, you know.
But they could have been a little cooler about it, not just like, get out of here, but just like, dude, you're gonna have to prove yourself or something.
Well, even Daniel, though, I think Daniel was a little over the line a little bit with what he said to Hawk. I was like, dude,
yeah, because
trash his house.
Yeah, he trashed his house. It's a good point. I know. That's why I like the show, because you could be like, oh, that guy sucks. Well, actually, you're right. Maybe he's not so bad. Oh, no, he really does suck. But he just got in a fight with Daniel, and he was agitated. Right then, Hawk, after they said, why don't you go with your Eagle Fang buddies? Hawk's like, hey, Mr. Lusso, can we talk? What? I don't know where I fit in here. Well, what'd you expect? You've burned bridges with pretty much everyone here. And that was just a hot-headed reactionary response, right? And he knew right at the moment that he blew it, but it was too late. And then Hawk comes back with, and when Hawk was looking at that poster, or not the poster, the old ancient Miyagi thing, I was like, yeah, you don't respect their stuff. Get away from that. I felt like that too. Like, you stay away from those artifacts. So then he comes back with the sledgehammer, which is a great fake out. Like, what's he going to do? And then he's hitting like the iconic fence that Daniel always paints. Fuck you, dude. But it turns out that Miyagi happens to have a big giant space even further out than we've seen where they're going to. And so anyway, my point was just that this kid, if he can be the one that really feels like it's important to bring these people together after what he's done, and he's trying to turn over a new leaf, I think that was just a good person to have do it, because it would be especially inspiring to everybody, I guess. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Plus, we have to be convinced it's for real.
What do you mean? You
know, I mean, I don't know. I guess he could switch sides again. But
yeah.
Like, if he does, I've already seen that.
Yeah, I believe in second chances, but not third.
The Cobra Kai dojo didn't forget either. They actually said something about him switching sides. It's like, why did you get your butts kicked or something like that? When Tori was telling him, you know, hey, you guys got your asses kicked. And he's like, well, that's because Hawk switched sides.
Right. So now they're
mad. So they got a long memory about it too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I'm sure that's going to come up again too.
Mm-hmm.
They face off.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, mine was the same. Johnny and Daniel learning each other's karate. And I don't think there was any surprises there. You know, I think we all knew they probably were going to butt heads, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. Like Jason pointed out, it's like how they resolved their differences, which was the fun part to watch. When they were so, you know, the first thing they do is, all right, we're going to try and stay together at the same dojo, but we're going to teach you separately. And they're like, but I thought we were supposed to learn together. He's like, we are, just separately and on opposite ends of the dojo.
As far away as we can possibly be and still be on the same property. Right.
And then they each take a day to learn each other's karate. I guess at this time, they're not paying any attention to the kids for these 2 days. Maybe they just do it on the weekends or something. I'm not sure. Yeah. But yeah, and they, you know, they were enjoying it. Like Daniel had that smug smile when he was teaching Johnny the calming defense of Miyagi-Do, and Johnny was laughing out loud, which was awesome when Daniel was getting totally into his training. And he was just like, yeah, in the abandoned warehouse.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
And then they both applied what they learned, which was totally cool. As a teacher, I really appreciated that. Right. I was like, Daniel strikes first in his fight with the hockey players. And then Johnny, you know, disappears. Yeah. Citing Miyagi's no be there. I was like, that is the perfect 2 days of teachable moments there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're going to see the benefits of both teaching styles, like you pointed out, Jason, because Robbie's showing Cobra Kai students how to do Miyagi-Do. And now we got Johnny showing the Miyagi students how to do Eagle Claw, which is Cobra Kai. So everybody's going to know everybody's strategy.
Eagle Fang.
So we're right back at the beginning there where everyone's going to be on the same playing field at the tournament. Yeah.
Yep.
That'll be interesting. And maybe that's why they're introducing this third dude.
Yeah. Terry Silver.
Yeah.
You mean him?
So, yeah, I wonder if that gives him an edge.
Terry Silver, yeah, will come in and teach him a few other things, maybe.
Yeah, Terry Silver. But and then also they might have the new kid, Kenny, too.
He seems too small, though, right?
He is small.
Like, he's young. Know.
He's in middle school, huh? The other kids are in high school.
I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work or what's... Maybe, I don't know if he'll be on the team, but maybe Robbie will teach him to go beat up AJ.
So it'd probably just be a side storyline, probably. Mm-hmm. He may not be at the tournament, but probably just a side storyline there.
Because at the beginning, they said that the All-Valley tournament was just in a few months. So are they in high school, or is it the summertime? Because Kyler was talking about going to Harvard.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
That's right. I can't remember when it takes place.
Where they were. I think they're all still in high school, though. I think Kyler's just talking out his ass. About where he's going to go when he gets out of high school.
Probably.
His dad wants him to go to Harvard.
Okay, my last point is about callbacks. So I love, you know, we see Terry Silver playing the piano, which reminded me, because I remember when we covered Karate Kid 3, I made a point to say in Karate Kid 1, Bill Conti did the score, and he's the same guy that did Rocky, and he did this beautiful music during training montages for Daniel, which they play for Johnny, and it's all soaring and everything as Daniel's giving all his lessons. It's so funny. But anyway, Terry Silver in Karate Kid 3 got some Bill Conti music, but it was violin and it was more aggressive and driving, you know, but beautiful, like way better than that movie deserved. But anyway, they play it here too. They have him playing the piano, and I don't know if it was the same tunes or not, but it reminded me of that music. But then at the end, when he's kicking that wine, they play his violin music. And I feel like that signifies that Terry Silver's coming back to where he was before. Johnny says to Mitch, hey, penis breath, you're up, which Mitch was ass face in Cobra Kai. Then when Johnny started Eagle Fang training in the park, he says, ass face, you're next. And Mitch goes, does my nickname got to carry over from the previous dojo? And Johnny says, you want to be penis breath? And Mitch says, ass face is fine. And Johnny goes, good, penis breath. So I like that continuity.
That's from E.T.
Oh, they called each other that, the kids?
Yeah, well, the older brother to Elliot called him. Right. Penis, or no, Elliot told his other brother that he had penis breath. My kids were just watching that movie. I was like, hey, penis breath.
Great movie. I love that movie. Daniel's got his circular hand sanders and he's skipping across the back deck, rubbing them together and whistling. And he's going, which is a version of what he was saying in Karate Kid 3 when he first had the, I mean, Karate Kid 1, when he first had those with Mr. Miyagi. He's like, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna. That little tiny detail is so cool. With Johnny doing his training montage, of course, he does all the classic chore-based training techniques from Karate Kid 1, but he also did the nail hammering from, I think that was from Karate Kid 2, to teach focus. Just hammer the nail in with one shot.
Yeah.
And during that scene, Daniel recites the speech from Miyagi, walk on left side of the road, safe. Walk on the right side, safe. Walk down the middle, get squished just like great. Which I liked, but that speech is supposed to happen at the beginning because it's all about, okay, we're going to start our training and you need to commit to it. Don't just be a maybe.
Yeah. It was funny how Johnny just saw it all as a chore too.
Yeah.
It brought back his handyman in him too. He was like, you know, you just can't put two coats of paint on a house. You got to heat gun it first and then strip it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, that worked so well with Johnny being a handyman. And I'm like, wow, did they have that in mind when they gave him that job, or was it just lucky because he had comments on all the chores that were awesome because of that. When Daniel tells Johnny he missed a spot painting the house, and Johnny's like, you know what? Screw this. It's just like in Karate Kid when Miyagi told Daniel, you missed spot. And that's when Daniel got pissed off and said, I'm tired of being your damn slave. And then Miyagi showed him, no, you've been learning blocking, you know, by punching at him and stuff.
Yeah.
When he chopped off the top of Johnny's beard, just like Miyagi did with those guys harassing him at the beach. And Johnny says, holy shit, how the hell did you do that? And Karate Kid 1, Daniel's like, how did you do that? How did you do that? Don't know. First time. Robbie's teaching Miyagi to do Cobra Kai and tells Tori, show me, wax on, wax off. Whoosh, whoosh. It's just like Miyagi doing that with Daniel that same night. And Robbie says, show me paint the fence. And she blocks a punch and then he sweeps her leg, which is a great combination of learning Miyagi-Do like in Karate Kid 1 and then showing a signature Cobra Kai move from Karate Kid, sweep the leg, you know?
Yeah, that's what, that was the first thing that Johnny was teaching his students too.
Yeah.
At the Miyagi-Do is they're going to practice sweeping the leg on Hawk.
Right. That's funny. And then when Johnny's in his training, he's on this big circular platform in the pond doing blocks, just like Daniel on the bow of the boat in Karate Kid, and finding balance, and the music is really swelling. And I thought Zabka looked just like Daniel doing those same moves, you know?
Yeah.
Even had the same demeanor and everything. That was really cool. When Daniel's climbing the chain, Johnny does his trademark quiet on him. Johnny's like, find your limit and soar past it. Daniel's like, what does this have to do with quiet? Keep climbing, LaRusso.
I don't know if he would really actually be able to climb that chain. The guy has stick arms, man.
I know.
He needs to work out a little bit.
Like you were mentioning, Remo, when the bullies lure Kenny out into the park at night. Well, they kind of mix things around because the blonde-haired kid says, pick him up. That's just like when Johnny with Daniel that night. After they ripped him down from the fence and Johnny said, pick him up, and wanted to kick him again. Mm-hmm. He's had enough, Johnny. But then, yeah, Kenny gets away and he gets over the fence before they can rip him down. They go through a hole in the fence. That reminded me of when Robbie and Tori and the other Cobra Kai went to steal the cobra from the zoo. I think they went through a hole then too.
Yeah, I think so.
Just a couple more. At the hockey game, Johnny said to Daniel, you're tougher than a prima donna. I'll give you that. Sometimes you got to show yourself toughness. That word prima donna, Kreese used when he said, no one touches the prima donna until the tournament.
Yeah.
Karate Kid won. And then when Daniel finished kicking all the hockey team's asses, he was moving left and right with his arms extended and kind of waving around just like Miyagi after he beat up all the Cobra Kai kids in their skeleton costumes.
Mm-hmm.
So I always feel like they must have run out of ways to use all that old stuff. And then they always keep figuring out new ways of doing it.
Yeah, they're good at that. They're good at the recycling.
Yeah, these guys are good. I'll give that to them for sure.
I wonder if they could take another like beloved movie and do this treatment to it.
Yeah, that would be interesting, huh?
Yeah.
I think if they were as passionate about it as what they are, the Karate Kid franchise, yes, I think they probably could. But I think that plays a big part. I think they're super talented and they probably could do something, you know, with an older movie like Karate Kid. But they're such super fans. I think that plays a huge, huge part.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The same with, you know, when we podcasted on the Evil Dead series. Those guys are all huge fans. Same yes. thing with The Mandalorian and Boba Fett. Those guys are all right. Star Wars nerds right. to the max, you know?
Well, the Evil Dead guys are the ones that made it.
Yeah, well, yeah, the original trio, yeah.
But yes, yeah. Yeah, and I bet you if they're that big of Karate Kid fans, there must be some other 80s thing that they loved too, you know?
Quite possibly.
You'd think.
I think with the way that they've handled Cobra Kai, I'd be totally open to if they, you know, when they finally decide to end the series, you know, move on to something else, I'll follow whatever, you know, they do next, because I think what they've done is brilliant.
What's your favorite 80s movie?
Gosh. It's mostly those teen dramas.
Like Breakfast Club. I wouldn't mind seeing that. Get them all back together.
Any 16 John Landis Candles. Movie.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Ghostbusters would be
How
good.
How about that guy with the car? Kit?
Oh, Knight Rider. That was a TV show. Yeah.
Good old Hasselhoff. Wait, gosh. Is he still around?
Hasselhoff? Yeah.
He is. Yeah.
The Hoff? <He's still around. laughs>
The Hoff. Last I heard, he was passed out from drinking. Yeah.
Okay. Any notes, Rima?
Oh, gosh. What haven't we talked about yet? One thing I thought might have helped Kenny just a little bit. This kid's clearly struggling a little bit being in this new school and you know, these boys are picking on him. It would have been nice had the PE coach maybe called Kenny by his name and not new kid. Maybe try to set the tone for the other kids.
Yeah, they don't do that in real life.
I mean, I don't believe either that this kid stepping into a bus, all the kids would ridicule him either. But it's very Karate Kid. That's how Daniel was treated it.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Exaggerated.
Yeah, probably. But I was like, dude, set the tone. I do like how the writers have handled Kreese and that he's not so one-dimensional. I like his, well, not really like how he does it or like that he does it, but a style of manipulation kind of changes based on who he's talking to and what the situation is.
Yeah.
You know, he can be really deceptive and calculating. He can be really smooth, you know, when he wants to be. And I thought it was really interesting how he told Amanda she needed to check her privilege.
Yeah.
In the store, in that scene. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought he kind of had a point
there. She did
there.
Feel bad when she found out that.
Yeah.
Tori has to, you know, raise herself basically.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I've said it repeatedly since Tori has come onto the scene and we've kind of learned about, you know, she's had a pretty rough life. You know, it doesn't seem like her dad's around. She's raising, you know, she's got a little brother, right? And then her mom is sick and she's basically working to support her family. And that's pretty rough, but it does not give you, you know, an excuse to be an asshole or a bully,
especially to the degree that she did.
Exactly. I mean, she definitely takes it to the extreme. She's not just angry. Yeah. Like, she wants to hurt people. You could see how she was taking her aggression out on that dummy when she was punching it and stuff. I mean, that girl has some, like, serious anger issues.
Anger management.
She does. She needs some help. But I do at least understand what's driving that.
Yeah.
But it by no means gives her an excuse. And I don't blame Amanda also for being pissed off. I mean, if I was in her shoes and, you know, that girl had come after my daughter like that, I'd been the same way. I would have been like, you know, stay away from my kid. You know, I'll call the cops. You can just spend your time in juvie or in jail. But, you know, also, I don't know. I wouldn't know. I can't say how the situation should be handled because I'm not in that situation. But I don't know. I think maybe a little bit of empathy would go a long way. And I see Amanda maybe possibly offering Tori a job at the dealership. I wonder if it'll go that
direction. She tried. She brought her the groceries, but
yeah.
I mean, this all ties into the big theme of the whole Karate Kid franchise of class and wealth, you know, like Daniel with his crappy car and his single mom trying to find a job and his mm-hmm. girlfriend's on lives on the other side of the tracks, and here now Tori's jealous slash mad at Samantha for all she has to do is show her puppy dog eyes and gets whatever she wants. Meanwhile, Tori has to struggle, you know.
Yeah, good call, Rima. I didn't think too much about Amanda and Tori. That's kind of a neat little subplot developing there, huh?
Yeah.
She, like, calls Tori a little psycho that deserves no mercy in the beginning, and now she's, like, feeling bad and empathetic for her and wants to help her. I wonder if they're going to have, some sort of relationships. Oh, I wonder if it's going to further divide Amanda and Daniel, because Amanda is already, like, this whole karate thing is stupid, you know, so.
Yeah.
Is she going to, like, take an even harder stance against all this karate, because it seems to be screwing up everything in their lives.
fueling aggression, it seems, not tampering it for sure. And it was interesting because she told, I always forget the guy's name that works there at the dealership. She's like, don't tell Daniel anything about this. So she's keeping, mm-hmm. you know, that from him. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be great to see Amanda somehow get through to Tori, you know, in the way that Daniel gets through, you know, to kids and, you know, maybe, I don't know. I just wonder if she'll be able to get through to her somehow.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of turn things around for Tori a little bit.
And all the while, as Daniel and Amanda are helping all these kids, they're ignoring Anthony.
Exactly. In the meantime, he's out here bullying kids.
He's going to be the question mark that, like, goes nuts, right?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Yeah. We forgot about Anthony.
Yep.
With another thing with Amanda is I like that because she's always the one pointing out, why are you fighting? What, this is stupid. You know, this karate, what are you doing? But here she kind of has to, I mean, I totally agree with her, but also I want there to be a show. So you got to have the karate.
Right.
And so now in this, the way they handle that is she kind of has to sort of agree. Okay. You guys made this deal that if you have this tournament and you win, that Cobra Kai will shut down. And so she feels like it or not, I guess is the only way we're going to be safe. So that means we don't necessarily have to worry about her through the whole season trying to shut it down.
Right. Because in real life, I would have totally called the cops and pressed charges against everybody and sued the shit out of them.
Kidding.
But if you did that, of course, no more show.
Yeah.
Yep. Show's over. Here's the aftermath. They're all in jail and there's a civil suit.
Yeah. Instead, we're going to team up and do the Valley tournament anyways and just put a few cameras in our house.
Right. All right. Any other notes, Rich?
I thought it was funny when they were at the Miyagi-Do, and the kid says right after Johnny says the best, or no, I think it was the kid that said the best defense is a strong offense, and he kicks that kid and he falls back, and Johnny's like, why do you have a rock in the middle of your dojo?
Yeah,
kid bounces off the rock.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, like I mentioned before. I was like, what happened to the Cobra Kai dojo? There's only like 6 kids in it. I paused it a couple times, and sure enough, there's only 6 people in the whole dojo. So is that what they're going to enter the competition with? Or are they going to get more kids? Kind of wondering about that.
Yeah, I'd like to see Terry throw some money in there and maybe attract a bunch mm-hmm. of people, start open up some more dojos or something.
I wondered if that was, you know, when he, because I feel like he's coming around, right? He's going to end up there somewhere if there'll be some new recruiting techniques
right?
Along with that.
Yeah. And then we had a little bit of a time with Carmen. And it looks like Carmen put the stops on Johnny's relationship with her just a little bit, or at least for now.
They brought up Allie.
Miguel, I guess, didn't know that her mom and Johnny were hanging out.
I know, Miguel's sitting there talking about it. Woo, he's so excited. And he's like, shut up, kid. Jesus Christ.
Cock blocker.
And what we saw last time, if I remember right, was Allie was open to, she was like coming on to Johnny, and Johnny chose, no, I'm into Carmen, and rejected her and went to Carmen. And then they slept together, I think. Mm. And then they seemed happy, but you got to put the kibosh on that. Same thing with what I was saying about Daniel's personality. Like, you got to give these characters room to grow. So Johnny can't be in a happy, stable relationship right now.
No, yeah.
It's too early in the series.
Right. Again, that would jeopardize the show.
But it was kind of sad because I like them together.
Yeah. I like his attempt at cooking an authentic Mexican food.
Yes.
You know, got the recipe from Chili's, right?
Chili's website.
He started off good if he had just shut up after the tortillas and the fajitas.
And the store-bought mango hot sauce.
He's so proud. From so Ralph's proud.
Salsa. Yep. It's like a little taste of the homeland.
Carmen and her mother are like, "That's just nice, but we're not even Mexican."
He tried so hard. That was so
funny. Hey, that's better than what he's ever done before with his eating slices of ham right out of it.
It is growth. Yeah, I love that. Was hilarious. Thank you for bringing that up. And he just like throws it in Daniel's face. He goes ham. Just laughs.
It's all dripping. Ham juice.
He's got like beer and bologna in his fridge. That's pretty much it.
The other thing he said that made me laugh too was the Daniel comes out in the morning, you know, to make him do the whole sanding with the hand sanding. You know, he's out there with this big ass floor sander. He's like, check this out, man. Smoother than a Smurf's ass. Oh, no. What'd you do?
It was a whole week's worth of planning.
Yeah, I had that down. He's like, got in early to knock this sucker out. That deck was the perfect teachable moment. Johnny's like, the kids know they're here to learn karate. You don't need to trick them with chores. Oh, what was your lesson plan? Line them up and throw forward strikes? I go by feel. Some days I'll toss them in a cement mixer. Other days I'll find a hornet's nest for them to kick.
This is so great about Johnny. He's a lot sharper than I think some people give him credit for.
I don't.
I do.
With his big jug of salsa.
Yeah. Well, when he takes Daniel to the abandoned warehouse, Daniel's like, what the hell is this? He goes, you know, this is how psychos in horror movies act. Good. That's it for my notes.
I had some funny lines too. Daniel has his kids waxing all the classic cars. Man, that fence gets painted, those cars get waxed, and that house gets painted so many times. But then you see Johnny having the kids cleaning out all the crap inside his car. That's right, clean it good. Want it to look brand spanking new. Get those cans out of there. Find any loose change, it's mine.
Yeah, he is smart. See, he's capitalizing right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Amanda's security password being Outlander.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was funny, too, when Johnny... was when they were going to teach each other their styles, and Johnny spits on his hand and goes for a shake. Daniel's like, no,
that's all right.
No need to shake on it.
I'm good. Thanks. Yep.
Daniel says, it's time Johnny and his students join Miyagi-Do. And Johnny says, why don't you join Eagle Fang? And Daniel's like, ah, come on, Johnny. Miyagi-Do has a rich tradition going back hundreds of years. You started your dojo, what, 3 weeks ago in a park? I'm pretty sure you came up with the name from this poster. The big poster of an eagle.
I was waiting for a poster of Iron Eagle because I know Johnny loves Iron Eagles.
Right.
That's true. It's a big eagle. I like when I mentioned Johnny says, look, maybe you can do this, but I can't, when he's painting the house. Defense is boring. Offense will always be more badass. Then he holds up a beer and he goes, fruit in your beer figures. And Daniel chops the top off. And then the montage bears repeating again with Daniel's classic inspiring pan flute training music playing while Johnny waxes the cars and Daniel recites the history of Miyagi-Do karate. And then Johnny's sanding the floor and Daniel says, ambition without ambition without knowledge is like a boat on dry land. That's it. Big circles. Right circle, left circle.
I don't think Johnny heard any of that.
I know. And then the last one I had for funny lines is when Johnny says, the human response to danger is fight or flight. The eagle's response is fight and flight. I laughed at that one. I liked, this isn't necessarily funny, but Tori's giving Robbie shit for not showing up in this fight at the LaRusso's. And Robbie says, what were you even thinking? That you'd break into the LaRusso's and hurt Sam and everything would be sunshine and roses. I'm like, that's a good point, dude.
Yeah. Everyone says good points. And then the other person immediately changes the subject.
Yeah.
Or answers his question with another question.
Right. They don't really trigger after really trigger. Address it. I was thinking that, well, I wonder if you like Robbie more now, Rima, because I know he hasn't always been your favorite.
You know, even though he's seems to have joined the Cobra Kai side, I do like him a little bit more. He's way more tolerable.
I think you like him more because he joined Cobra Kai.
No.
Because you like the bad guys.
Oh. I do like the bad guys.
And he looks like Val Kilmer with his new haircut.
Yeah, I was going to say, is his haircut.
His hair looks, well, they did a good job last season because they did cut it. They got rid of that terrible haircut he had in season one.
But now he joined Cobra Kai, so that's.
Yeah. he's definitely more tolerable. I do like him.
I like him more.
Yeah, I like him more, even though I'm like, oh man, I don't know. I see where he's coming from though. In his, where he's just like, I'm just tired of the bullshit.
Yeah. Johnny.
Yep.
Yeah. That worries me though. If they're making all the characters likable again, when are they going to pull the trigger and do something evil? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they've still got a few. I think, Tori, even though you can understand her, she's so aggressive that it's like, dude. And then this little blonde haired kid, I mean, curly haired kid, is a total prick. And Kyler, he's never been likable.
Oh, right. No.
They're ever going to get around
not.
To him.
No.
I see him now as more just a big goof. Just a, well, I guess he's a bully, huh? Yeah, he's a bully.
He is. I mean, when he's in Cobra Kai, he's got people who push back on him, though. But at school, he's just giving everybody shit.
Yeah, big bullshitter. I see.
Yeah, true. All right. That was really fun. Let's take a little break. There's more to come. Stay with us.
We all know that people are the same wherever you go. There is good and bad in everyone. And we learn to live. We learn to give each other what we need to survive. Together alive. Ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony. Side by side on my piano keyboard. Oh Lord, why don't we?
So just one small news item this week. I did come across an interview with Thomas Ian Griffith, who plays Terry Silver. Thought there were a few pieces of that were kind of interesting, so I thought I'd just kind of mention them here. So this is from Men's Health, and they start off the article saying, when Thomas Ian Griffith made his debut playing the psychotic baddie Terry Silver in Karate Kid 3, when he first heard of Cobra Kai, he was completely unimpressed. He says, I heard they were doing a TV show based on the Karate Kid series and thought, oh my God, this will be a disaster.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, to be fair, I thought the same.
Yeah, I was going to watch it no matter what, but I'm like, this is going to suck.
Yeah. So he says, my wife and I tuned into YouTube one day, watched the pilot episode, and we were blown away. We just binged the first season going, this is smart, it's irreverent, it's funny, it's nostalgia. It had all those great ingredients. And they said when it seemed more and more likely that his character might take or might make his way back to that Reseda Strip Mall dojo, he wasn't sure what he wanted. He says, I was on the fence. It's like, how are they going to bring this bigger than life character to this world? How would he fit in? And what has he been doing for the last 30 years? He says, when creators John Hurwitz, Josh Held, and Hayden Schlossberg contacted me, we did a Zoom and they answered all those questions. They had mapped this incredible backstory. So I guess he kind of already knew, and that is what talked him into it. So they did ask a couple of questions. They said, Karate Kid 3 was your first movie role. How did you get involved initially? And he says, well, I was late to the audition. My wife was like, oh, just go late, show up, tell them what you're about and get the hell out of there. He said, so I went in and the casting person was like, well, you missed John Avildsen, who's the director, but he's on the set screen testing actors at Warner Brothers. If you go over there, you can meet him. So I went over there, met him. I waited while they were screen testing, read a scene with him, and he liked something he saw. He said, stick around until after the screen test. I want you to do a little scene with Ralph Macchio, who was on the stage testing the other actors. So I went to walk on, I had the pages in my hand, and John took them away and said, just go improvise the scene. I did, and we had fun. And then he said, I'm going to call your agent. We're going to set up an official screen test to come back. And he said, well, I was like,
what Thomasine Griffith was in there going, I like that. I like that.
Yeah. I wonder what he improvised. So, but he
here's
said,
me on Coke.
Yeah.
I did a few lines beforehand and he really liked it.
Well, it was the 80s. So who knows?
Right. You never know.
he said, I was like, well, what role is it? Because there was the Vietnam vet and there was that bad boy of karate. I was 28, 29 at the time. I was like, well, which one am I doing? He says, don't worry about it. Just come back. And then they sort of rewrote it and created this character, this bigger than life character. He says, I give John credit because he took a chance on an unknown actor and just said, go for it. Rolled the dice with me. I remember just saying, is this too much? And he just said, just keep doing it. I want every kid in America kicking you in the shins.
That's interesting. Yeah. They rewrote it because I think Martin Cove was supposed to be the villain, but then he was busy with something, you know, Kreese. Was supposed to be the villain, but then he was busy with something, so they created Terry Silver. But I don't know the exact story.
Mm. Yeah, because they shared, I think Terry Silver had more screen time than Kreese, right?
Way more. Yeah, Kreese was barely
in three. Yeah, three, sure did. Yeah, he was off getting massages.
Right.
Kreese was.
He came back at the end to get his ass kicked by Miyagi.
He did. So they asked him another question, which I thought was interesting because this was something I was curious about. They said, what was your karate background at that point? And he says, I grew up studying it. It was my sport through high school. I got involved early. I was getting into scraps in the schoolyard all the time. My mom was a dance teacher. And one of the little rumbles, as we called them, I got in as a kid. I saw a kid from the city throw this spinning hook kick. And I was like, wow, what was that? So he took me to the north end of Hartford where he trained. And it was like this very strict Taekwondo school. And they pulled back the curtain. They were going up and down rolls with such precision. It was like, this was fantasy for me. Unbelievable. I just became addicted to it. I just loved it and ended up being such a part of my life still to this day, because it crossed over to all my disciplines. It gave me that focus and discipline, a way to live my life. And he talks in the article about how active he is, like trying to be in shape by coming back and being on set and having to do karate all day on Cobra Kai, and how he's, you know, active every day. He makes it a point to do something and be active every day.
I mean, that wine bottle kick was pretty great. And back
pretty
in,
damn good. Yeah.
Back in for like, what is he, 57 or something? And back in Karate Kid 3, you could tell they picked a guy who knew karate. He was like one of the best we'd seen on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one last thing, they said there's a lot of bad guys on Cobra Kai, Terry Silver being one of them, but also John Kreese and Johnny Lawrence. Who's the baddest guy on Cobra Kai? He says, wait a second, what do you mean bad guy? He's misunderstood. I think they all have a past that labels them into a bad guy category. Now, who will go to the biggest extremes? I think Terry has the most to lose, so I think that makes him pretty dangerous. And also, obviously, I always say, if Daniel had just forgiven him that first time that they met, he probably would have let it go. Terry really wants just that friendship and love in his life, like we all do. But when he doesn't get that, then that sort of propels down this kind of a bad path.
I don't get what if he'd forgiven him the first time they met? You mean for torturing him for weeks and lying to him and making him crazy?
Yeah.
Danny boy?
Fuck you.
I think he was being a little silly.
Yeah. No, but that's what an actor has to do, is sympathize with their character.
Absolutely.
And sell it.
Giancarlo Esposito always does that. He's always defending Gus Fring.
That's funny. And then the last item I have, just really quickly, because we always want to know when's the next season, right? I mean, we're still watching it, but I know so many people binged it over the weekend when it came out over New Year's Eve. So ever since arriving on Netflix, each new Cobra Kai season has premiered on or around New Year's. And it's, you know, possible that could happen with season 5. Because it has been obviously renewed. We know there's going to be a season 5. Showrunner John Hurwitz tweeted on December 19th, that was just a few weeks ago, that filming on Cobra Kai season 5 was already finished. So even before season 5, was finished. So before season 4 even premiered, they've already wrapped season 5. Now, of course, the show still needs to be edited. Reshoots could happen, but with all that factored in, I mean, I wonder how if we'll get season 5 a little sooner, because it's traditionally been, at least when it came over to Netflix, it's been New Year's Eve when it's premiered. So I wonder if we'll get it maybe spring or summer. Is that too hopeful?
Maybe they'll do season 6 and just stockpile them.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I always just presume it's going to be a year, even if they have it in the can. Same thing with Lock and Key.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to make us wait. And yeah, they're like, knows? Nah, too much of a good thing. But so we know we're getting season 5. It's done, and hopefully we'll get it soon. But Josh Held also said, he's also one of the producers and showrunners, he did explain that there's more story after season five, even though Netflix hasn't ordered anything after season five at this point. He does say we have more beyond season five. We're not writing to the end of the series in season five right now. We can't believe we've filmed two seasons of the show this year. In our minds, it's crazy to believe how far ahead of the story we are than what the audience has seen so far. Season five is another enormous season with a lot of new flavors and a lot of things that you haven't seen before yet on the show. And it's not the end.
Hmm. So
now I feel like a recovering addict because we got season four is out. Season five is done. And here we are with just the first two episodes.
Yep.
Not too much. Not too much at one time, please.
Yep. I mean, I feel like I always felt like this would be a good five season show. So they're talking about doing more and I'm like, don't ruin it. I mean, as long as it's good, I'm happy to watch more, but you can't, I mean, there's such a thing as too much as of a good thing.
Don't want to wear out your welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I think even though it kind of sucks sometimes because you don't want some of those good shows to end, you also feel good about when they go out on top.
Yeah.
You know,
when they just have a really good run and then end and they never even had a dip or anything. That right. would be awesome.
Yeah, the best shows do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or at least the ones that are remembered as some of the best shows, yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Walking Dead had a dip, but has come back pretty strong, but 11 seasons, they're finally ending it. I just would rather Cobra Kai didn't go through that, I think. But what do I, it doesn't matter what I think, but it's just what's on my mind.
Well, and I'm interested to know what it is that they're going to do that we haven't seen yet before. They said a lot of new flavors and a lot of things we haven't seen before yet on the show. So it's,
they're going to all learn Krav Maga.
Hey, I'm going as an extra.
They're going to drop the whole karate thing and learn underwater basket weaving.
That's funny. Yep,
Johnny
that's all
kills
I've got.
Daniel. A kick to the head.
Oh my God. Well, that went dark.
All right. Thanks, Reema. Let's move on to listener feedback. Reema?
All right. So Brad Holt says, the hockey game scene in episode two was filmed in the ice forum where my daughter used to take figure skating lessons when we lived in Georgia. It was so cool seeing it on the show. Well, that's awesome.
Atlanta, huh?
Yeah, they film in Georgia. Yeah, that's right.
Paik Allen writes, love that Johnny and Daniel don't just automatically work well together. That's going to be a whole process. Great to be back in the world and great seeing a little bit of Terry Silver. He's still got some moves. And I immediately loved Kenny. That kid is awesome. And I'll fight anyone who wants to hurt him. LOL. Anthony, stop being a little shit. Your father raised you better than that. Hope he comes to the light and saves Kenny from his bully friends in the dark grasp of Kreese's Cobra Kai.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel protective of that kid. Shay Wyatt says, so happy you guys are back in Cobra Kai and that the new season is here. Watch the first two eps and it hooked me once again with nostalgia and comedy. Love seeing Terry Silver and the flashbacks. Love the acknowledgement of the ridiculous plot line of Karate Kid 3. Can't wait to see him in action. My favorite scene was in episode 2, seeing Daniel train Eagle Fang and then beat up the hockey team was amazingly good. I laughed when Johnny told Daniel, no be there. Can't wait to watch the rest.
Gemma Hall says, it's so good to have the show back. I found it fascinating to see an older Terry Silver and a toned down, seemingly more sensible guy who was so jacked up on cocaine and anger that I terrorized a teenager for months. He seems to have the self-awareness of what he did, but does he? The fight scenes are as usual epic. Robbie taking down all of Cobra Kai. The contrast between Johnny and Daniel's methods is quite hilarious, and I think that might be a theme of the season going forward. I can't quite believe how different Anthony LaRusso is. His voice is so deep. Looking forward to your podcast on it.
That's awesome, Gemma. I'm glad they're giving Anthony some plot here. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
Anthony's getting a lot of call-outs.
Okay, cool. Let's see what Steve Brown had to say about it.
Hello, House Podcastica. This is Steve, and this is going to be for Cobra Kai season four, episode one and two. Okay, so I'm going to assume this is Terry Silver. Did he just hang up on Kreese? This is going to be great to see how these two interact now as kind of friends, I guess. But Daniel's giving this rousing speech, and then Johnny just interrupts him. Okay, watching the credits, and it did list Thomas Ian Griffith right before Martin Cove. And there he is. Come on, you got to reach out to Hawk. Don't just... Guys, man. Oh, say this isn't true. Come on. Don't give us wimpy Terry Silver. We need the over-the-top, coked-out, revenge-seeking Terry Silver.
Robbie still got skills.
The kids turn out to be more mature than the adults. Again. Maybe we are going to get Terry Silver back on episode 2. We got nothing of Daniel's youngest son in the last season, so now they're going to hit us over the head with him. Guy teaches you centuries of his karate. You can't teach him simple English. Oh, Daniel's son is more of a jerk than we thought. Catfishing the new kid. Come on. Did Kreese just shoplift that fruit, or did he put it back after taking a bite out of it? I guess Daniel is seeing the benefit of aggression. Yeah, you know, they're mirroring Karate Kid with this Daniel's son bullying this little black kid. With a different ending, though. So sad, though. In the dumpster? Aw. That was a very good fight right there. LaRusso kind of mixing the Miyagi-Do and Eagle Fang. No Terry Silver in this one, but now we see what the plot point with the new kid is. Interesting.
You know, thinking back to season one, Daniel's kid was always kind of a little dickhead.
Yeah, he was annoying.
Very spoiled brat. Yeah, very much so.
He's actually showing a little bit more humanity even than he did back then in some ways, just by being a little hesitant.
Yeah. About what I wonder if the showrunners felt that way too. And the writers, you know, because they kind of cooled off on Anthony after the first season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe they, I mean, they got so many characters to juggle. I'm surprised at how well they are doing with giving so many people something to do, you know?
Yeah.
It's gotta be hard.
Like one of them's gotta go.
Yeah, exactly. We just can't help everyone. We'll get you next season. All right, kid. All right. That is our show. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks, Richard and Rima.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you. This was great.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
If you want to write in or record a message and send it in, you can email us at talk@podcastica.com.
We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/podcastica.
And be sure to check out the other great podcasts at podcastica.com.
Yeah, like if you're not watching Dexter right now, you should be watching
Shame
that.
Shame on you.
Shame on you, Richard. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I thought that was an old show.
They did a revival.
It ended really badly, and so they're like, let's fix that. So they have a new miniseries out.
Yeah.
Oh.
By the people who first started the show back when it was good. It's been great. Rima's been covering it with Paik on Strange Indeed. I'm a fan of the show and the podcast.
Thanks.
So if we want to watch the new version, should we go back and watch the old version first?
I mean, personally, I would recommend it, but there are some folks, if you look online, there are some folks that will say, no, you don't really have to, like, you can watch the season without, but I feel like just like anything else, the context of the original series makes it a lot better, right? Like you understand all the callbacks, you understand the references and you have the history. So,
and personally, even though I am liking the new show, I think the first season of Dexter is still better. And I would, if you're going to watch some Dexter, I would go watch that. And then if you want to keep going, keep going.
Absolutely. First season is amazing. Yeah.
And then on this podcast, if you've been paying attention, you probably noticed I've been covering a shitload of shows lately, like Wheel of Time. I'm not sure if the final episode is out yet, or if not, it'll be out anytime now for that. And then Yellow Jackets, we just started covering, which is so great. Such a good show. Dark and funny and really intricate and mysterious. So you want to know what the hell's going to happen next. Me and Eric and Chris did our first Boba Fett episode. Did you watch that, Rich?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was cool. I like how they split the time almost equally between the now and the then.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get the full backstory of Boba. That's
right.
Cool. Sarlacc pit.
Sarlacc. Awesome. Yeah. Not to give away too much, but Sarlacc.
Sarlacc.
That was everyone's question. Yeah, it was great.
next episode.
Tough dude, even though he's got a dad bod now.
I know. It doesn't really make sense, given that that happened.
I can identify with him better.
Given that that happened right after the Return of the Jedi. Okay, whatever. The next episode for us will be Cobra Kai Season 4, Episodes 3 and 4, Then Learn Stand, and Bicephaly. Which, by the way, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but bicephaly is the condition of having two heads, kind of like conjoined twins. So I'm guessing that refers to Daniel and Johnny, and maybe also Kreese and Terry running their dojos. Hopefully.
Can't wait.
All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
No, be there. Be here for next week's episode on Podcastica.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.